Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are having, like, I don't know, like a 25-minute long gripe session before they hit record.
It's important.
Strictly for the Patreon. You're right. We're getting all the negativity out of the way so we can bring you nothing but beautiful love here on the podcast as we figure our way through life, love, broken internet links.
Limestone.
Limestone.
That's the elm. Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah, it's a process, so we don't want to bring all negativity.
No. I do want to ask you about your shirt, though. You are wearing a shirt that I can just see the top of it. It says Praise Dale. Is that a Dale Earnhardt shirt?
It is a Dale Earnhardt shirt, and this is probably going to make you pretty jealous.
Okay.
So do you remember, I think, episode 2, I debuted a red shirt that said Hoots?
Uh-huh, yes.
Sent me three. He actually sent me three, and this is another one. It says Praise Dale.
Golden Ale. Oh, yeah. So they have a Dale, or they have a Praise Dale Earnhardt Golden Ale. That is like some savvy savvy marketing for the Carolinas. Let me tell you.
Genius.
Yeah.
Jerry at Hoots Brewing is genius. So he sent me, I gotta rep him on the podcast. So
yeah, there you go. This shirt that I'm wearing, I paid full price for at the Levi's store. So there we go.
Okay.
That's the difference there. So you're actually sponsored and I'm still reverse sponsored where,
oh man,
I just name check the things that I paid full price for.
I know, you're like, if there was like a Levi's spokesman, like ranking, that's not, they're making you pay full price on it, buddy. It looks good though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You've always been able to rock the flannel.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you get your yoga glow in today?
I did not. I'm battling a little bit of a cold and I did not want to take that to the yoga studio and mess up the vibes, you know. it may have cured me, I don't know, but I thought I would just hit it with DayQuil, and then as soon as we finish this podcast, gonna flip that over to the NyQuil and then try to hammer it out of my body with napalm. Essentially is how I approach anytime I start to get sick. It's just like I'm slamming emergency, you know, I'm like taking the drugs immediately, just heavy on the drugs, and just try to obliterate it as soon as possible. Probably not good for the rest of my body, probably bad for my liver and my kidneys.
Feels nice at the time though. It's like a sniffle, I'm like, where's the DayQuil?
Yeah. Like, nope, get out of here, Satan.
In this
house we say Praise Dale for the healthy days.
When you're on the up and up, I'll send you the shirt.
Okay.
But you don't do caffeine anymore, so.
I've been doing a little bit of caffeine. I have backslid a little bit on my caffeine-free lifestyle, but I'm still maintaining it pretty well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I do a half calf if I'm driving. That's also smart. Because even though the Starbucks app allows you to order like a quarter calf, when you actually order it to a human being, their brain explodes.
Yeah.
Like they just can't figure out the math of it because they're like, well, it only has like three shots in it. So I don't know. I was like, then just give me one shot of caffeinated and tell me it's quarter calf. Like, this isn't right. Just go, oh yeah, cool. And then just get two shots decaf, one shot caffeinated, and just hand it to me. You don't have to.
Like, I love that.
Thank you for the honesty, I guess. But also like, just like nod your head and say, sure. Uh-huh. And then just make it however you think it's supposed to be made. So why did you bring up caffeine? Do you feel like caffeine helps you with getting over a cold, or do you think
it definitely not? Oh, definitely not. I think the recommendation is don't take caffeine at all, and it'll expedite you getting better.
Oh, interesting.
It quickens up your I don't know what it is. Don't drink caffeine if you're sick. Yeah. Okay, good. I was about to get real technical.
I like that we're creating new old wives tales here on the podcast. Look, like you get sick, you do three things. You praise Dale, you know, because you've been followed off. You haven't been giving him his props. Number two, you cut out all your caffeine. And number three, you wear one sock. That's all you do. One sock. Got to be on the left foot only.
And it's important to be on the left foot. Yes.
What that does is it lets the cool air in on the right side, but it keeps that left side warm. And then that makes a storm in your body. Those two cold and warm fronts hitting each other inside your system. And then little lightning bolts will take care of all the cold cells.
I feel like you just lifted this from like a year ago episode of the Joe Rogan podcast on COVID. just word for word.
I'm trying to get this podcast bigger by spouting insane theories on medical, possibilities. So that's, I'm telling you, I think our listenership probably just went up.
Yeah, probably. This is the viral YouTube clip of the week.
I did have this. Speaking of the Joe Rogan podcast, real quick, I know you've got a lot to tell us because you had a very eventful weekend, and I feel like this is going to be most of the podcast. But before we get to some more of my bullshit. Okay, I did have this realization the other day, and I was going to try and tweet it, but I couldn't figure out exactly how to word it correctly. If they were still making The Office, or if they made The Office now, 100% Dwight would be a huge Joe Rogan fan, right? He'd have to be super into the Joe Rogan podcast and also possibly QAnon, but really into, like, there'd just be a running thing of him trying new weird supplements that he heard about on the Joe on this Alpha Males podcast. And then, Angela would have an OnlyFans, but it's for her cats. Like, she didn't really understand what it's for.
100%.
I don't know. That's as far as I got. And I was like, this premise is not strong enough to keep going with the tweet, but it's worth wasting people's time on the podcast.
Damn, even pull out the notebook for that one. He's like, let me flush out Jim. And he's like, kill it with Angela's cats.
Maybe I'll write. I don't know. Yeah. Kevin becomes a TikTok star inadvertently. Like, there's some things that could be doing. I'll write up a spec script for it. There we go. Office 2023. The reunion show.
The reunion show. That's how stand-up comedy is going well. You start writing spec scripts that are for shows that have been done for a fucking decade.
On the day that the Writers Guild of America went on strike, that's the day you decide to do it. You're like,
Finally got the motivation to write that script.
That looks about as stable as stand up. So maybe I'll throw my hat in that ring too. Without further ado, though, did you have any more bullshit before we get into recapping your weekend?
Not at all. You want to go first? I feel like I'm just going to rant for seven days.
That's what I'm excited about. This might be a two-parter. My weekend was very chill. Like, I had blocked out this weekend not doing any shows because on Sunday was my father-in-law's 90th birthday. Fortunato turned 90 on Sunday, so we had a big event up there in Carmel at his place. Lots of relatives came in from the Philippines and from Canada and the West Coast and stuff like that, and all kinds of other random people that I don't think are related, but just in the community, in the Filipino community, were there. Yeah. And then obviously a lot of the direct immediate family came out too. Denise's immediate family is also very large. So I didn't want to take a chance of I'm not going to be able to get back in time. So I didn't book any shows. Mm-hmm. But that also allowed me then to go to Middle Ground Comedy Festival on Saturday. I bought a ticket for the Saturday experience and went and had a great time. I thought that they knocked it out of the park for their first festival for like a smaller, like, one venue festival, which is, mm-hmm. it's kind of like a genre of festivals. If you think about like altercation festivals like that, Beast Village is very similar to that. Beast Village, I think, has two venues usually, but just smaller scale. And the focus is a little bit more on like the vibe and just like, the hang. I mean, the shows are all good too, but it's less of a big production where you've got all these shows all over town and all that kind of stuff. So for that style, I thought that Cam, Gwen, and Heather, their marketing partner, they killed it. Like, from a mm-hmm. just an attendees perspective, mm-hmm. I thought they did great. And the vibe was really good. Like, comics were there supporting each other, and everybody seemed to be in a good mood. The audience members were great. I liked everybody I saw. There's one comic I was like, but it's like more like he did well. But it was just really just stylistically, not my jam. Right. But I got called out by somebody who's like, I was watching your face during their set. And I was like, I'm allowed to not love every comic. I don't think I was making a stink face so much as it was like a disappointed face when a certain joke hit that is one of the most overwritten premises in comedy, which, again, like most people, and again, that this comic did well, they did well, but I've seen a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of comics talk about that particular movie from their youth. Okay. It seems like a generational touchstone reference point.
Are you afraid to go into detail because you think people are going to know who you're talking about?
They're going to know exactly who I'm going to talk about. Yeah. Because I mean, you got to think about our listenership to this is mostly other comics. And I'm not trying to bag on this comic. They did have some stuff that I did like. They did have a bit that I really liked a lot. But it's a pet peeve. It's literally a pet peeve whenever I see a comic go into a bit about this particular movie, because there are I've literally seen, I'm not exaggerating, at least 30 comics.
Sure.
In the last couple of years, of a certain age group, all have jokes about this one movie franchise, this one ridiculous movie franchise for children, that they all...
The Easter eggs are on fire right
now.
Yeah,
exactly.
My mind is so, all over the place. I think I know the movie. Put it in the chat
and I'll let you know if you're right. But yeah, it's one of those things where pretty much everybody has the exact same take on it too, which doesn't help. But even if their take is a little bit more unique, it's just like, oh,
it's still, you're automatically turned off.
I'm immediately like, yeah, it's definitely going to ruin that comic set for me for at least a couple more minutes. Like, it's going to take a while for them to get. Yep, you nailed it. Yep,
damn.
That's exactly what it is.
Damn.
Yep.
So I did not see this person, but I think I know who you're talking about. Their set. I missed the day you were there.
Yeah.
But I heard that there was like, were you there when it started to hail?
Yeah, I was.
Like
I was
sitting, outdoor festival.
Yeah, I was sitting in my car. I think it hailed as I was pulling in, and then I just chilled in my car and waited for it to pass, and then I walked in. But yeah, but I think also the volunteers did a great job. You know, I talked to a couple people and hung out and caught up with some comics that I know, and then talked to some of the comics that were there volunteering, and they just saw, everybody seemed like they were doing what needed to be done and had a good attitude about it. And I talked to a few of the comics who were performers in the festival, a few people who came from far away, just to get their senses of it, because they'd been there for multiple days and they had a different perspective than I did as performers. And all of them also said, you know, they had a good time and that, you know, it was definitely worth doing. So I put it on your map, comics, middle ground next year, definitely worth submitting to, I think, unless you're going to tell us something radically different with your experience, Dwight, as one of the headliners. You like, shit.
I was like, well, man, damn, nope. No, it's all good vibes. I was there Thursday. I missed Friday. I was there Saturday and Sunday. So all good vibes. A lot of funny comics that I've known from around the country I got to see. And then got a lot of new faces. I think they did a good job of getting some new faces in there. And it's always, I think you talked about this, like at Before You Die, you can always tell newer comics because they're so amped up.
Yeah.
No matter like what the actual experience around them going in is. And I'm saying that as someone who's like always amped up. Like I get called out for like, I think we had Ashley Gavin at the festival. She's like, is this real? Are you always like, on 10? I was like, yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
But then I got pissed off. Don't call me fake. Don't do that. Ashley Gavin's very lovely, but don't do that shit. It is
interesting, like how delightful and nice she is when her onstage persona, she does a lot of like ball busting and roasting of her audience members. Like she has a very devoted audience and it's a lot of like shitting on them, like playfully. But she does a lot of ball busting and like fucking with them. Yeah. But then off stage, she's like the most delightful
person. She's really nice.
Maybe if she knew us better, she might go into that mode with us. But every time, because not only when we had her at Limestone, but then also I opened for her at 10,000 Laughs on one of my shows and could not be sweeter and nicer. Hopefully we're not ruining her rep, you know, her brand, by putting that out that she's actually a nice person.
Oh, we're pulling back the curtain, baby.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, continue on. So yes, you are an excitable guy. You are like, you bring a lot of energy and positivity, not just on stage, but also just to the environment. And so I think that's a good thing.
I dig what we get to do. And it was cool. I'm obviously from Indianapolis. The festival took place right down the street from where I live. If the weather was better, I could have walked there every day, but did not. But yeah, like I'll get more into it when I get there, but yeah, eternal thanks and gratitude to, you know, Cam, Gwen, Heather. They were fantastic all weekend. They really were. A couple of hiccups, which I'll talk about.
Okay.
Because they were said publicly. So hot goss, but
oh, all right.
Not really. Okay. It's not really that hot, but
yeah. At this point, it's kind of lukewarm. It's been a couple of days since the festival, so this is.
and I missed it.
Room temperature goss.
Man, so on Wednesday, I did morning TV for the festival that I was headlining on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Got up, went to the studio. I'm not a morning person. I caffeinated like crazy, which isn't great if you're about to try to not sweat on live television, but I did it anyway. Okay. So I was just not prepared for what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I knew.
So what did you do? Were you part of like a cooking segment and everything?
No. So we were promoting the festival, but they also wanted to play games with us.
Okay.
So we, you know, Heather and Gwen.
Real Jimmy Fallon style, huh?
I know. I was like, it's too early for this shit. Gwen was great. I was on air with Gwen. She had a lot of, you know, great things to say about Indianapolis and Black Circle as a whole. And she also had all the details of mm-hmm. the festival that I wasn't intimate with. So mm-hmm. I felt like the only thing I added was living in Indianapolis. It's like, yeah, I also live here and I also agree with everything Gwen said. And they're like, cool, let's play a game. And yeah. They just played like a generic name the lead character. So they gave us a clue from mm-hmm. a sitcom and we'd have to buzz in and do the character.
You had to do the character? You had to impersonate the character?
No, we didn't. We had to name the character. But
all right. How'd you do on the game?
It was a team, Gwen and I versus the two hosts. And Gwen mm-hmm. and I held that shit down and won. Nice. Gwen got two right. I got two right. And yeah, we won. And then that was the whole experience. It was like legit like 3 minutes and 50 seconds of airtime. But I think that's another shout out to like the, like you said earlier, like shout out to them being able to get these TV spots, blasted out on social media, any type of promotion that this festival got is really, you know, shout out to Porch Marketing. That's Heather Brogdon's production company, but it's also the insight and excitement of people that are actually comics. Like Gwen and Cam utilizing his connections. It was just really cool to see. Cool to see people sharing it from the scene. So,
ahead. I was going to say, I did want to say, I shout out to Heather and Porch Marketing because, like, just watching how well they did as far as getting, like, because that morning TV show wasn't the only thing. I saw Gwen was making the rounds. Like, she did a couple of different things. And then also their social media has just been super on point. And it honestly made me kind of jealous. Like, I was like, why did we ask Dwight to be the third member of Limestone? We could have asked a marketing director.
That
you know,
makes
like,
way more sense. There would have been less cursing. There would have been less resentment. they killed it, to be honest. They really did. Focused, passionate. And then I went to also by Wednesday, you just looked into Gwen's eyes and just saw the fatigue.
Yeah. And it's not even they haven't even started yet. The festival's not even started yet. And they're just like, so over it. Like, why would I do this? Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I'm done with the small talk. I love them so much. And then I drove to Columbus, Ohio. I had a show at the Columbus, Ohio Funny Bone mm-hmm. with Jen Fulweiler, where do you know Jen?
I do not.
She's really funny. I met her in Nashville and she asked me to do this with her. We were supposed to have a host, and I found out 4 minutes before that I would be going up. And for some reason, I didn't know that it had to be TV clean until I got to the club. I got there like a half hour early. And I'm not like a super dirty comic, but it does change the set quite a bit.
Yeah, you know? Obviously. Now, was this from her or from the club?
It's from her. She brought me along. I think
The TV clean thing, is that kind of her thing?
That's her thing.
Okay, yeah.
That's her thing. So I think she saw me in Nashville do a TV taping where it had to be TV clean and just associated me being able to do it, mm-hmm. which is no big deal, but it was like, okay, TV clean mindset. It's like, at least I have the host to like gauge them.
Yeah. Nope.
See where they at. And then the GM came up and he's like, "You ready to go up?" It's like, "I will be after the host set." And they're like, "No, you're the host, dog." And so instead of doing 25, I ended up doing closer to like 32.
Mm-hmm.
But they were fun. Her fans are great. She talks a lot about being a mother of 5 or 6. She has so many goddamn kids. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say it that way. She says, "Gosh darn kids," but otherwise,
I got to get it out. Yeah. I've been repressed. It would be funny if she went up there. She's like, "These motherfucking kids."
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, I mean, when I opened for John Lovitz, I had to work PG clean so that then he could come out immediately cursing and get easy laughs. So yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. They're like, "Who's this mundane asshole?"
Yeah. Same thing with what's her name? The Tennessee Tramp, Janet Williams.
Oh yeah.
That's the same thing. Like your opener has to be clean so then that she can be the dirty old lady.
So that she can be the tramp.
Yeah.
That they know and love.
Yep.
Very funny.
Yeah. But, nothing says a great comic like tying the hands of the opener. Now this is different though, because like if her whole brand is that she's clean, it's the same thing like Emo Phillips. If you open for Emo, you have to wear clean because he's clean, right?
He's clean. It makes sense.
That's not the same thing. It's like when they do it on purpose just so that they can say the first F-bomb and get a big laugh and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. She also talks about like, which I've never seen someone with this premise before, talking about being an atheist and deciding to go Catholic.
Okay. Yeah,
so like great. A lot of her audience are like mothers that homeschool their kids. Mm. And you can always tell when it's a specific audience that just happens to bring their spouse along. So all these wives bringing their husbands and they're in their Carhartts. They're like, this feels like it's pointed at me. How dumb the husband is. And it's so fucking funny. It's so funny. And then like, I think she wants TV clean because she does talk about religion. So she doesn't want like politics and shitting on religion before she goes up. And it's like, religion actually was good for my life and helped me get my drinking and stuff together. So,
She's one of those. Okay.
She's one of those. Yes.
She took step one to heart. Okay. Good.
She's just like my mother when she decided to do that for a year and a half.
Yeah.
It didn't stick.
Didn't stick. Doesn't stick for everybody.
No, didn't stick. Yeah. It does not stick.
That's actually why I never went through the program, is I couldn't get past that first step. The first step. Yeah. I was like, I can't. I can't hang with this.
Not doing
like,
all that.
Yeah. So I was just like, I'll find another way to get sober. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Buy into your cult.
Yeah. Your cult. That's true.
This is sort of an aside, but it really is. Like there's a thing where people just replace their addiction with an addiction to 12-step programs and that mindset. Like it's like, oh, now this is the thing I'm addicted to. Now I go to meetings all the time and this is my whole thing. And they're just like, yeah, the idea of like I'm completely powerless and turn my life over to a higher power. I was like, I got myself into this.
Yeah.
Like, this was a series of decisions I made. Yeah. And it's up to me to get myself out. Like this, the way that I got and stayed sober is I continued to make a series of decisions to do that, you know, and the idea of like, oh, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Powerless. I'm powerless.
You just spark noted the entire 12-step program.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, if anybody out there is listening and then in the program and that's how they got sober and stay sober, I'm glad it worked for you. But, you know, it's not the only path is what I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. But I never.
Okay, anyway, back to comedy. Sorry.
No. It is. It's like because I saw my mom go through like several of these programs and they just. After a while, it just becomes about the program.
Yes, exactly.
And it just comes about the gossip of, it's like, it's supposed to be anonymous.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get together and talk shit about Cheryl for 45
minutes. No shit. That, and then also, like, there's a big history of the 13th step, which I don't know if that ever happened to your mom, but it's where people use it as a dating circle. Particularly, it's like,
oh, God.
Women in program have to be, like, sort of, extra cautious that they're not getting preyed upon by dudes who are, you know, they're in like this very vulnerable state and they think they're in the safe space to open up and be safe. And then some dude is just trying to get his dick wet.
Damn.
And so, yeah, it's called 13th Stepping. And okay. So, yeah. And so, yeah, there's a few downsides here and there.
It's like Jesse from the season 2 of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But she was super cool. I think she's really funny. And I hope I get to work with her again.
Cool.
And then, so it was a good start.
Hopefully everything I just said didn't ruin that.
I think we're good.
Okay.
I might have mentioned this, or maybe not, but it's also like I didn't do like a merch pitch, I don't think her fans are my fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very like conflicted about it. I was like, I had a good set. Everybody enjoyed it, but that's not typically the comedy I can't be as loose as I typically would be if you would come to a show that I was headlining.
Right.
So I didn't want to like bait and switch people. I wasn't even like, follow me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You guys want to hear some bits about critical race theory and why Mitch McConnell's a piece of shit. And yeah. J. Edgar Hoover is one of the worst people that's ever lived in the world.
You want to hear my thoughts about God? Yeah.
So I decided to not do that. And I think that was the right mm-hmm. call. I came back to Indianapolis on Thursday and I did a podcast for this really cool magazine in Broad Ripple called North Indy. Really cool chat with a couple guys, and then had the show on Thursday night at Middle Ground Comedy Festival. Was headlining the late show, which mm-hmm. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. It's a late show on Thursday night. That's typically, would be a light turnout. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the 7:30 show, and then you have one that starts at like 9:15. So especially the first night of a festival, Everyone's kind of saving up their energy for the rest of the weekend. This ran Thursday through Sunday, so a lot of comedy you can fit in. But I watched, I got there early so I could watch Mandy McLeavy, and she is so funny, so good. Mm-hmm. The audience was fantastic. I love her comedy. If you guys don't know her, look her up. She's one of my favorite comics out right now. So watch her set, no surprise, crush her. And then they flipped the room, and I just hid in the green room because I did not want to know mm-hmm. if the room was going to be empty or not. Plus, I'm here like all the time, so people can see me a lot throughout the year. So yeah. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know what to expect. It could have gone either way. They started the show, and it was just kind of riotous. I could hear it from the green room. Fantastic mm-hmm. Energy started by Gwen. Who hosted, but she only did 3 minutes. That's what mm-hmm. I told you, fatigue guys.
Yeah.
The way they ran it was really interesting too, because every show they'd have a host, he'd do a very short set, or they'd do a very short set, and then they would just get the show started.
Right.
You've been to shows at Black Circle. That shit never starts on time. The shit started on time.
Yeah.
That's how you know Cam wasn't in charge of the shows.
Of that part of it? He wasn't in charge of that part? Yeah.
Yeah. This shit started at, like, on the dot. Yeah. I was like, okay. And so the energy was great. And then my show from top to bottom was awesome. Like, I got caught up watching the other comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gwen's like, I'm about to bring you up. It's like, oh, shit. It's time for me to go up. That's how good the energy and show was. And then I got up and had fun. I was working on this bit about Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started the set. I started with 3 new jokes and they mm-hmm. all went better than expected since they're so recent.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, like, I think they probably got more than they deserve.
Yeah.
But it was just after those landed, it just went into like kind of a greatest hits. And then, you know, it was probably the set of the year for me so far. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a homecoming. It's like all love. We talked about it last week. It's like, that's the show I felt most free to do whatever I wanted, but it's also the show with the most pressure.
Yeah.
Because standing in the back of the room are a lot of, you know, not just comics that I love and respect from around the country, but locals and industry people that I buy coffee from and beer from on a regular basis. These people have to look into their eyes. You don't want to bomb your barista. You don't want to bomb your barista out of the room. That's awkward. Yeah, it's awkward Monday.
Yeah.
Can't make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then hung out with some comics that were in early at the after party. Really good hang, like you said. It was all vibes. It was all love. Like the entire weekend that I saw from top to bottom was all positivity. It's one of these things where you get, you know, 40 comics from around the country and there's not really a diva. There's nobody like complaining the entire time, which they could have about the weather, about, you know, there's, but everything I saw was amazing. Even like the showcases, they ran without headliners. A lot of comics went and supported instead of like doing the thing that most comics do at most comedy shows is like stand in the back and talk.
Yeah.
Most, you know, a lot of comics filled in seats to help bolster audience. And it wasn't just the thing where they're just in the room. They were actually participating.
Actually watching and being audience members. Yeah. Which is, what a weird concept, comics, huh?
Yeah. They weren't doing the thing that Matt did of scowling people for joke premises that he finds
I was well into the middle of the room while I was doing that. I was seated in the middle of the room. The comic may have seen my face from the stage, to be honest.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's like, so on Friday, it would have been Friday, I did a corporate at a for a mortgage company.
And how did the Tucker Carlson joke work there? Did it go well?
So as like free as I felt on Thursday, So
You're going back and forth. Wednesday, last minute, find out how you have to be TV clean, and you do 30, over 30. Then you have this wild and free, like, can't miss, like, whatever you want to do. It's your home court advantage. And then right back to...
Right, like, if you... So, kind of like Cloud Nine from, like, Thursday night to Friday morning, and then it's like, oh, shit, I gotta go actually work. Sometimes the shit's work.
Yes.
But I had... Like, I knew that. I knew that I had these weekend shows that were going to be like work. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been preparing sets so I didn't have to like stress about it when I got there. So, but it's comedy is so weird, man. It's the, like you ever pull up to a place and you're like, why? I wish I could access the mindset that I had when I said yes to this. Like, I wish I had it. So I pull up and it's a tent. In a parking lot at Keystone and the Crossing, just in front of their building.
It's so right by all the traffic and everything too.
It's not, exactly. So it's like,
oh my God.
It's 49 degrees and like windy. And they have the food truck set up. And I meet the lady that booked me and she's like, oh, a lot of people that RSVP'd said it was too cold. So we have probably half of what it was. So it's only like 30 people. And I got there a little early and I was like, we can start whenever. Let's get this fucking open. So I was only doing 30 minutes. Only sounds insane. I was sludging through 30 minutes of mud. So there's no real structure. There's no stage. There's no microphone.
PA. So it'd be weird if there was a PA, but no microphone. Like, we forgot the mic.
It's like, oh yeah.
It looks good behind you, but
it's gonna be good for pictures.
Was the tent like? Did it have the sides like the vinyl drop sides?
It did have them, but not completely enclosed. So three sides with the vinyl.
Yeah.
And then they had the big space heaters.
Right. Yeah.
That everybody just huddled around.
Yeah.
Because if you step 1 foot out of the tent, it feels like you're going to be fucking blown away in a blizzard.
Yeah.
It was so cold and uncomfortable. And I was like, I think we should just do the show. I'm using quotes.
Mm-hmm.
So we should just do the show. And I picked a spot at the back. So there was like a backdrop and I had a whole table. And the one of the owners comes up. He's probably mid-40s, but very outgoing. Can tell that he has his successful career in sales. Just mm-hmm. kind of has that energy. But still trying to be young. Like, he was wearing Jordans.
Uh-huh.
But a blazer as well. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he's like, thank you so much for doing this. Anything you need? He got me a beer. He's like, you need food? I was like, no. And he was like, basically asking me how the show should go. I was like, well,
I like that they wait till you get there. No one, like, this could have been an email from whoever booked like a week out. Like, how do you think we should structure this? Did it, sure. You know, but no, just as soon as you walk up, like, oh, yeah. How do you think we should do this thing?
So they have those like 9-person round tables everywhere mm-hmm. that he kind of gathers everybody kind of close to mm-hmm. the, once again, quotes, stage. And I'm like, you can just say, I was like, my name's Dwight Simmons, by the way. You can just say that I'm a writer for the Bob and Tom Show and that I've been heard on Kevin Hart's LOL Network. Welcome to the stage, Dwight Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he goes, okay, let me write this down. Let me write this down. I was like,
That's a lot. It's a lot. He doesn't want to get it wrong.
I know.
So how did he get it wrong?
Oh, baby. Strap in, Matt.
I'm going to take a guess. He said he said that you opened for Kevin Hart.
Okay.
And that you're on the Bob and Tom Show.
He did say I was on the Bob and Tom Show.
Technically, your jokes are on there, you've been on the show before. So yeah. He said you are Kevin Hart.
I like that. You're so close. He so he goes up where I told him I want to stand. I'm outside of the tent, just waiting for him to bring me up.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that in this situation, you still want to make an entrance.
You're going
about this so differently than I would go. I would have just been like, look, let's just have everybody stand by the heaters. I will stand with them in the heater area.
I didn't ask him to gather everybody. I was just like, there's 30 people here. I don't have a mic. So
yeah,
fucking. But he's like, I got to do some announcements.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I don't need to just, when you say Dwight Simmons, I'll walk up.
Mm-hmm.
He gets on stage and he points to me and he goes, come up. Come up.
Did he put his arm around you?
He goes, come up. Not yet.
Yeah. Okay.
He goes, come up. So I'm like, all right. So I walk up and he goes, yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming to the employee appreciation party. We've had a great quarter. I know we're going to knock it out of the park next month, but we're going to have a little fun tonight. We got a stand-up comic. Dwayne here. I was like, it's Dwight. He goes, and then someone just yells, the comedy's already started. Like, it's already.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It's already getting hostile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he goes, Dwayne. He goes, sorry. It's Dwight. Dwight here is a writer for the Bob and Tom Show. He's on there a bunch. He's written for Kevin Hart. A lot of his jokes come from this guy right here.
Oh, man, I love
it. He said a lot of his jokes.
A lot. Pretty much all of his jokes. Yeah.
And then just on my shoulder goes, this guy right here. I'm like, what are we doing? So it goes, Dwight Simmons. And then everyone claps, sort of.
Yeah.
It felt like only like 4 people knew that comedy was happening. Because just a lot of disinterested faces.
Yeah. This is giving me flashbacks of that corporate gig I did for Old National Bank. I think we talked about maybe one of the earliest episodes. I mean, maybe we hadn't even started the podcast yet, but it was a similar thing where it was no mic,
mm-hmm.
about 30 or 40 people, and most of them seemed to not know what was going on, even well into my set, my quote unquote set, had no idea why this was happening to them.
Yeah. Just like, you want to, at an employee appreciation party, you want to get drunk and talk shit with your coworkers.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to sit and be polite like you do every day at work. And I felt that energy. I tried. Oh, man. So I had prepared like a set that just went in the fucking trash. It went in the garbage.
Yeah.
Minute two. I was like, I went into a bit about that I've been working on about being in sales myself. Like I moved to Chicago. I went door to door and I was like trying to engage on their level. And they were just like not about it. I was like, oh, you guys aren't in sales, huh? And a guy's like, yeah, most of us are. I was like, oh, you're just boring, I guess. I found out about like 20 minutes in, what they wanted was just like a roast session.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. They wanted inside jokes that they could use around the office. So the last 10 minutes was, if anybody responded to anything, it was just like eagle eyed at that person and just let them have it. Cause that's what they like. It was the type of office that's just like, yeah, that guy fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Get him. So they wanted a crowd work.
Yeah.
Roast show.
Yeah. Which, but where you don't know anybody, so you're really having to just go off of what they look like and or anything.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Also, it's not our forte, but you're in survival mode at that point. And so if that's what they want, and so you go ahead and do it. Yeah. I did have someone tell me, Scott Long, who took me out very early on in my career to do a bunch of road shows with him. He, at that point, was starting to transition into doing corporates, which I think he pretty much exclusively does now, makes that money. But he was talking about, like, he's like, you figure out, he's like, whoever books you, when you get there, you ask him like, who's the boss?
Yeah.
Who's the big boss here? And he's like, and you open your set by fucking with the boss. Yeah. And then he's like, and then everyone is on board because they love you because you're saying the shit that they can't say.
Right.
He's like, and obviously you can't go too hard. And the boss also has to laugh at it to like, oh, I'm a good guy. I'm a lady with a sense of humor. I can take it. They have to do that in front of their employees. He's like, it's the secret weapon. And he's like, and then you can just get into whatever you want to do. He's like, you have to kind of like do that.
I tried to make fun of the guy, immediately, but it was also the thing where I was finding my way on the stage, like the stage quotes again. I was like, where is like the best spot to keep the attention of as many people as possible? So like
I didn't go
directly in to the making fun of them.
Yeah.
It's still like grabbing people's attention.
Yeah.
So just like a little introduction and then making fun of them. About 15 minutes in, someone brought me a beer that was like just mostly foam. And I was like, oh, just like I like it, mostly foam. And it got a fucking big laugh. So I made fun of him. I made fun of another guy for working fast food, called him Fry Guy. They really liked that. I was like, I don't know.
Just the
what is
the
happening.
God. The dumbest joke. The dumbest joke you could think of at the time. And that's the one that hits. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You like, I could have sold these jokes to Kevin Hart. If you're going to react like this. I did.
You should have been like, I wish you would have said, these are the ones that Kevin Hart didn't want.
Oh, my God. So a girl came up to me after. She was probably early 20s. And she's like, oh, my God, do you know Nate Bargatze? She said, Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
I was like, I've met him. I do not know. She's like, do you have his number? Can we like FaceTime him? I'm like, what do you think my life is? You just saw what happened.
I just saw you perform without a microphone in a tent and a parking lot for 30 people. Yeah.
This is the biggest compliment you could have given me. Yeah. We'll do Chris Rock next.
Yeah.
But my goodness.
So, and you're not even done yet. Like, I feel like we got to move you on because we're running out of time. You then had to do an after prom on Saturday, right?
I did an after prom on Saturday, which was not as bad as I thought.
Okay.
Still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Still pretty bad. I got, it's a mid-sized school, I guess. Mm-hmm. How many people did you graduate with, by the way?
I went to an incredibly small school. There were 23 people in my graduating class.
God damn.
My
did
school
y'all even have prom?
We did. It was a junior-senior prom was combined every year. And it was usually just like at like a hotel in Louisville, like in their like little banquet room or whatever, because we didn't need that much space. So it was pretty, usually pretty small. Yeah. But I went to one of the smallest schools in the state.
God damn. So I graduated with around 1,200 people.
Yeah, a little different. So,
yeah, anything under like 600 is like small. So I think most of the kids, I think their graduating class was like, I don't know, 200 maybe. And I think most of the kids just did what every kid wants to do at an after, like after prom, they fucked off. There were like 40 kids and they were very polite, very mild. It didn't feel, it didn't feel as bad as the tent party, I will say, even though I did 50 minutes with a microphone.
Yeah.
With a microphone though.
50 minutes.
50 minutes. And they were fine. I wasn't great. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Now, but now I know, like, this is not,
some gigs are not worth the money. Some gigs are not worth the money.
I know.
Not that money anyway. Like, yeah, if they would have doubled it, then you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like we say that all the time in comedy. And then we do it all the time with like shitty bar shows. Like, oh, I'm not doing that again. But then that next year that booking comes around and you're like, okay, I'll go do it again. Yep. But at least there you have the freedom to be yourself and do whatever you want. You don't have restrictions that you're working with. You know, I'm clipped wings. So,
Yeah.
So there were 40. So they had a graduating class of 200, but there was like 40 here. So these are the 40 who like didn't have like an actual party to go to, who weren't like getting pregnant. These are the 40 good kids. Yeah.
I did say, which was a tremendous misstep, I go, where are the cool kids? Which kind of got a laugh, but mostly scorn.
Yeah.
So, like, they did not want the roast session. That they were not secure in themselves. Enough
weird.
So it was fine.
There's gonna be there's gonna be like a whole like emergency session on Monday about bullying and like like they have grief counselors in there for these 40 kids because you said they weren't cool.
Oh man. Yeah, it was fine. It was one of those, like, so I had to drive home. It was really late, but Megan was up and she's like, how was it? And I was just like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm done talking. I don't want to talk about comedy anymore. I'm done. What I did for the last two nights were not comedy. So I was like super happy that the festival was going on so I could just go and be around good energy and vibes. So on Sunday, I did the live Harder Brunch podcast with Dyke Michaels and Thaddeus J. McKee. They did a great job. It was their first one live. Dyke made breakfast for all the comics. And then they did a live taping and it was all right. I was like, this is more of what I want and need to be doing with my time and my life. So a fucking roller coaster of a
Definitely
of a week.
I think also too the fact that you had that Thursday night show to hold on to can really get you through. I forgot that I actually did do a set this weekend. Thursday I did the Comedy Attic open mic, and it was one of those things where the last show that I'd had was the Sunday hosting the Sunday before hosting the Cardinal Spirit show. Where I didn't, you know, they were super tight. That I didn't do well as in my hosting spot. I, you know, did everything I could, and you know, I mean, in theory, got them warmed up, but it was rough. You know, it was like a little rough. As I talked about on the podcast, I think that Tuesday. So Thursday, I went and did the open mic, and Bailey Pope. I got Bailey Pope on it since she was in town for Middle Ground. She had reached out, and so we gave her the closing spot, which is usually what I do. Right, it's more time, but because she was closing it out, like I went in the middle of the mic and just. Okay. Destroyed for five minutes.
Sweet
and
spot.
Yeah, and I, like I worked on a couple of new things, but it was also like I knew going in, it's like nope, this is just to like get feeling good about myself again.
Yeah.
You know, and it was packed. And so, and it's one of those things too, where, you know, it's like mostly college kids. And I think anytime that you do really, really well for a demographic that's not yours, like I remember when I featured for Chris Shaw at his album release party at the Sinking Ship, and it was all Black people in the audience. And then Chris Bowers. and early on, like in my, you know, comedy career, I was only a couple years in, but when I smashed that 30 minutes in front of an all Black crowd, I was like, oh, this feels different, because it's like, it's a validation. Like these jokes are just legitimately good. You know, you didn't have to be poor white trash growing up in a trailer park, which is what a lot of my set was back then. Right.
Right.
You didn't have to like, it's so like, and so Thursday night, it was the same thing. It was all these baby faces, all these like 20-year-old kids in college. And I did a bit about my mom dying and I did sobriety stuff. And I just like to crush with that in a different sort of group like that is just like, it always feels better than if it's just like your own people, because then you're like, yes, there's maybe a deeper type of laugh. They like, oh, I feel that. Like when you do a joke about getting older and everyone else in the audience is the same age as you.
Yeah,
like that's a deeper laugh, but it felt really good. And I just was reminded about that when you were talking about your Thursday night experience, because I also felt super free. I went up with no plan.
Right.
And I did not plan to like gear jam through like three different, radically different topics, you know, and go into my mom dying and still make it work. Like, and so, yeah.
That's so, dope as hell.
Yeah. So this is how I'm announcing that I'm retiring from comedy. I'm
going to end on that. At one open mic.
That hot open mic.
For the babies.
Why would I ruin this feeling? Why not just go out on this feeling?
I did want to bring up one more thing because
I
missed it on Friday. I missed the incredible Stuart Huff and his set.
It was on Saturday. It was on Saturday.
Oh, it was on Saturday.
The day that I got to see it.
Yeah. My apologies, Stuart and podcast listeners. It was Saturday. I got there on Sunday and everybody was buzzing about Stuart's first 5 minutes where he just called out how much he hated Cam. And I was like, what the hell happened? And they're like, he was fine, but like, he was visibly upset. The story I got is that he goes, Stuart on stage, there's someone filming up front, and Stuart goes, hey, is that film? Is that like video? And he goes, focus on me. And he goes, fuck Cam O'Connor. Mm-hmm. And so I'm scrolling through Middle Ground's thing because they reposted it.
Yeah,
I was like, where is it? It was like 30 stories in, and it's the funniest thing that's happened all weekend, and I wasn't even there to see it.
I got to see it firsthand, and yes, he roasted Cam pretty hard for 5 minutes, but with love, you know, like it was clear that he was joking, but what was amazing and being in the audience and watching it and knowing Stuart really well and knowing Cam really well and knowing their relationship very well. It's like, it was surprising that Stuart kept going. Like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, it's his opening joke. He's kind of shitting on Cam for his first cup, you know, joke or whatever. And it was like, oh man, we are crossing the 5 minute mark and he's still on this. And, but Huff was great. It was always inspiring to see him, perform. And, he's one of those things where too, I think also like a lot of the comics who had no idea who he was probably got their brains rearranged a little bit about what you can do with comedy. So
he does leave people with a buzz, because on Sunday people were like, it was amazing. I was asking people like, how was the show last night? How was yesterday? And like, first time seeing Stuart live. I didn't know what to expect. And it's always good. There's just comics that just like Westerns, like old Westerns, they're just legends. And he's one of them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I thought off and on over the years about getting a Stuart Huff tattoo, not of his face, but like basically I have an idea of a design like that I want to do that collects like some of his jokes that I think that I really love the most into like one design. And I've always been back and forth on it, but then watching him, it's like, I should probably go get that tattoo. It's like, you don't want to wait till someone dies to show, you know,
right?
Like, but I mean, he was very foundational. Flowers. Yeah. Early on. And like, you know, like he really changed. And I don't feel like I do anything remotely close to what Stuart does. You know, there are moments, like his bit about his grandmother passing away and how important she was to him definitely informed the way that I would go on to talk about my mom when she passed away, and how you can walk that tightrope of like really gut punch and heartstrings and pulling and getting people, you know, really emotional, and then hit them and with a punchline that releases the tension and still like respectful and beautiful. And so, I mean, he definitely was foundational. I think in a large scale picture though, if you looked at our stuff side by side, people wouldn't see it, but I can see it inside, like in the gear works of my jokes.
There's a lot of
Stuart in there. So I don't know, maybe next week I'll show off a new tattoo, but probably not, because I got a lot of shit to do and tattoos are expensive now. Like, you know, I've got also pricey. I don't have any good space left. My arms are covered. I don't know where you put a Stuart Huff tattoo on your butt. Maybe
buttocks, baby.
Left that cheek. would be That would be the funniest.
Yeah.
That might actually be worth doing. It's like
he would revel in that.
Yeah. The only place that would be appropriate was on the butt.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I know we had some questions tonight. We had part two of Shanda's questions. And then we also had a really great question from Natalie Bainter was sent into the pod. My question to you, Dwight, is do we want to try and do those or should we next week tackle those questions? Maybe next week is an all questions one.
Let's not jam it in here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to rush through because they're both really good questions and have some nuance to them. And then let's see. Yeah, I have like one show this weekend, so I won't have much to talk about. What's your weekend look like?
I am in Oklahoma City all weekend from that's Thursday, May 4th through May 6th at Bricktown, Oklahoma City.
Nice beautiful club.
Yep, so I'm excited about that. Come to some shows. I got five of them.
Who are you with?
That is a fantastic question, Matt. And I should probably know the answer to that.
Just show up. It'll be a mystery.
I'll probably have to work TV clean and we'll see.
I have one show next week, and on Saturday, May 6th, I will be in Seymour, Indiana at the Pacey Apothecary, which I think they've been doing shows there occasionally, not super often, but every now and then. So that'd be cool. Be in John Cougar Mellencamp's hometown of Seymour. That is Saturday, May 6th. And that's the only thing I got. I'm really kind of more shifted into limestone mode right now. So next week, we will recap those. We'll keep it kind of tight and then we'll dedicate the rest of the episode to Shanda's question and to Natalie's question. Thank you so much for sending those in. We appreciate you. If you are out there and you also would like to get in the question queue, if you'd like to line up your questions to be answered on a future episode of the podcast, you can do that by emailing us at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. And we will get to your question in the order that they arrive. So hopefully very soon. Dwight, any words of wisdom for the people before we go?
No, I do want to say I apologize for the level that the intro and outro music has been at. I got a text message from our older contingent of the podcast.
Meaning me.
Telling me to turn the damn music down.
It's crazy loud in comparison to our voices. And so then you would have to crank the voices up and everything. And then the outro music comes in and blasts you out again. You know, one thing that I almost forgot to say is shout out to Willie Bostic, who I saw on Saturday at Black Circle at the Middle Ground Comedy Festival. He took a moment to let us know that he really enjoys the podcast and he listens to it. And we are apparently his first podcast that he had never gotten into podcasts, and he started listening to ours. And because of listening to our podcast, he now also listens to the Conan O'Brien podcast.
Oh, like, Willie
opened up his world to podcasts. So I think it's just great to know that, like, you and I never got to be on any of Conan's TV shows, but it's nice that we could provide a little something for Conan. We can get him a listener.
I love that.
Yeah.
So Conan needs a friend and we're sending him to him. So. Yeah.
But thank you so much, Willie, for saying those kind words about the podcast. Appreciate it very much. If you also want to give us kind words, you can do that by rating and reviewing the podcast, telling people about it. Drop all your compliments in the section. We've not read any of those on air, I don't think, during the podcast. So maybe we'll also do that. Next week will be a grab bag. We'll show some love to the fans, the people that are writing in both questions and also publicly in the comment section. We'll just make next week all about you guys.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Turn your music down. Pull your pants up. You know this.
Praise Dale.